Hello, my name's Mike Talty and I work at Microsoft in the UK. And this is one of a number of videos around a technology called Prism, sometimes known as the Composite Application Guidance. This comes from the Microsoft Patterns and Practices team and largely targets building Silverlight and WPF applications. But you can use some of the techniques and the pieces delivered outside of those spaces. So you kind of get two things with Prism. You get some documentation and you get some libraries in the form of source code that you can build up for WPF or Silverlight. And as I say, you don't have to use these inside of those kinds of applications, but some of the technologies in Prism are specific for UI work with these two technologies. Prism has a friend called Unity, which is another framework, and we'll talk about that as well in these videos. And in terms of finding these things, if you want to find Prism and so on, if you just pop to a search engine, type in Prism and Codeplex and you'll find Prism. If you want to find Unity, type in Unity and Codeplex and you'll find Unity. If you want to find these videos, you can go to channel9mstn.com/niners/mtalty, that's me, and I'll put these videos on this site here. If you want to find me, you can go to mtalty.com, that's my blog, and you'll find it there. If you want to find me on Twitter, you can go to twitter.com/mtalty and you can find me on there as well. And if you want to find me on email, I'm just mtalty@microsoft.com. Okay, so here we are in video 10. And what I want to do here really in video 10 is pull together what we've previously seen. So essentially try and build something a little bit more complete, although it'll still be just a very basic sample. It won't be a real application, but just something that's a bit more complete that pulls together some of the concepts that we've seen elsewhere. So, you know, the concept around modularity, the concept around commands, the concept around regions, views, and so on. Using dependency injection from Unity pretty much all the way through. So just to try and pull some of these different things together. Oh, and event aggregation as well. We've seen that before. So my idea is to try and build something that, let's say, looks a little bit like an email client or something like that. Looks a little bit like Outlook, perhaps. And so what we'll do, let me just shut this down a second. Here's the sketch I've got in my head. Let's just bring up Paint. And what we'll do is try and build a client. Now, if we've got rectangles in here, let's just see if we can go ahead and just draw basic rectangles. We'll try and build some kind of client like that. And down here, let's just draw another one of those things. We'll have some kind of folder view for the email folders. And then over here, we'll have some kind of list view that displays the various items in a list. And then we'll have some kind of reading pane, you know, down here at the bottom. And what we'll do in the first instance is we'll try and compose these out of various modules that come along and register views for these various regions that we've got on the screen. We might also later on have some kind of composition for a new email region on there as well, so we might do that as well. Okay, so some of what I'll show, in fact most of what I'll show, will write on the fly. That might mean that this video takes a while. I don't know how long it's going to take at this point. Let's go and spin up Visual Studio. And some of the code I will bring in having already written it. And really where I'm doing that is to try and minimize the time. And it's to try and not focus so much on the code that's not quite as relevant for the Prism discussion and to focus on code that's just, you know, regular code, really. Okay, so let's do File, New Project, Silverlight Application, of course. Let's put this into Ctemp Video so I know where it's going to be. And I'm going to call this Email Client. Okay, and we'll make a new website for that, and that's fine. So standard stuff. And throughout this video, let's just shut everything down in the first instance. Throughout this video, what I'm going to do is just add references to lots of assemblies and not really worry about it. So I'm just going to bring in all of the Prism assemblies straight into that project without really worrying about it. I'm also going to get rid of that main page. And I'm going to add in a new user control, which will be our shell. So we got used to the idea of creating a shell. So it's a user control. I'm going to call it shell. It's already in there, and we'll come back to that in a second. I'm also going to want some other projects in here. Some of them are just going to be class libraries, and some of them are going to be actual zaps that contribute modules like we've seen previously. So let me sketch some of those out in the first instance. Okay, so I'm going to add a new class library. Let's add a new project, class library. I'm going to call this email entities. Come back to that in a little while, having deleted that file that Visual Studio throws in. Add another class library. I'm going to call this email interfaces. Just throw that in and get rid of that class again. And I'm going to add another zap file, essentially. So we'll come ahead and add a new project, but this is going to be a Silverlight application. We did this previously to build modules. We'll call this email service, something like that. Let's go and bang that in there. And I don't care about adding any of these, but I will allow it to host it because that will copy the zap for me, so that's kind of useful. And in there, I don't actually want an app.xaml. I don't want a main page because I'm just going to add services in there. So what we'll do is we'll add a new folder into that. We'll call that module definitions. And we'll add another folder in there. And we'll call that services. Okay, so module definitions and services. Okay, so I'm just going to snip the video while I add some basic code into those places and then come back and talk about what we just did. Okay, so I just added some extra code. We'll walk through that in a second. But in adding that, I realized that I'd left my Silverlight application trying to create a main page for its root visual. So I just need to remove that code because that's not how we'll do things. We'll do things with a shell. And then hopefully I can build. Okay, great. So let me look at the code we just added. What I just did was added some code to this email entities project. Have a class called email. Email is just a simple class. It has an ID, it has a from, it has a to, it has a sent, it has a subject, and it has a body. And the ID is just a GUID that we create automatically at construction time. We'll come back to these in a second. There's also a static method on here called create, which just makes you one of those emails by setting the to address, the from address, the date, time, now to the sent value, and the subject and body to be the results of formatting a piece of text with the ID, which will be the GUID in the middle of them. So it just generates you a test email, really, for demo purposes. The email also has a little reference to the email folder it's in, if it is in a folder, which it should be. And there's two methods on here, one called delete. And when you delete an email, it just sees if it has a folder and asks the folder to delete the mail from the folder. And when you use nfolder to put an email into a folder, all it does is it first off deletes itself from any folder it's already in, then it makes a note of the folder it is now in, and it asks that folder to add this mail to that folder. Okay, so that's the email class, pretty simple. Let's just take a look at the email folder class. Here's the email folder class. So obviously it's a collection of emails, so essentially what it has is a name, and it can return to you an enumeration of all the emails in the folder. It keeps those in a little list of emails, very simple. And when you say add mail to the folder, it just locks that collection and adds the mail. When you say delete, it locks the collection and removes the mail. And it also has an event up here. Email changed. So when you add an email, it fires that event. And when you delete an email, it fires that event. And here's the firing of that particular event. Now, it actually has... let's take a look at that event, actually. Let's look at that event args that we've got. That's in here as well. The event args just has the type of change that's just been made. Did you add a mail or did you delete a mail? And it also carries the mail that was added or deleted. So pretty simple, really. If we go back to the folder, you can see that it creates one of those things with a particular change type, which is either deleted or added, and with the email that was deleted or added. Other than that, that's pretty much that class, I think. So it's just a name and a list of emails, and we've got a few constructors for different ways of actually instantiating one of these things with a pre-existing list of emails. Okay, so that's that. Let's get rid of that. Let's get rid of all those. So those were all the classes I added to this email entities project. I also went and added an interface to this email interfaces project. And this is my idea of an email service. So my email service can send an email. It can delete an email. And it also has a list of email folders called mail folders. Okay, so that's an email service. Very simple. And then lastly, I added another project here. You saw me add the project. I added some code to this project with an email service here, which is actually an implementation of that interface we just saw. So here we have email service. It implements iEmail service. What it does essentially is it just maintains a fixed list of email folders called mail folders, which is here just a list of email folders. And there are only two. There's the inbox and there's sent items. That's it. That's my email folders. When we create the inbox, we put a default email into it using email.create to create one of those dummy emails. So that inbox starts off with one email in it, and the sent item starts off with no emails in it. That goes into our property called mail folders, and you can get that. I can set it, but you can't get it. You can get it, sorry. So when you use this email service to send a mail, what it does is it simply says, let's put that email into the mail folders one, which is a bit ugly, but that's the sent items folder. And when you ask it to delete a mail, it just tells the email to delete itself, which will tell the folder to remove the mail, which will fire a change notification. Similarly, when we put this mail into that folder, it will fire a change notification as well. Anything else going on in this class? There's one other thing going on in this class. We create those mail folders, which are fixed, but then we create a timer. And what we do is we say every 30 seconds, create a new email and add it into mail folder 0, which is the inbox. And that will fire a change notification on that mail folder. So basically what we've got is a mail service that can say, hey, give me a list of mail folders. It will give me those back. I can then walk up to those mail folders, get the emails from them, and sync up to a change notification event at the point when those folders have mails added or removed from them. And that's pretty much what we've built. None of what we built here is anything to do with UI, and none of what we've built here is anything to do with Prism at this point. So it's just code to underpin what I want to do. Okay, great. So the first thing I want to do is turn my email service into a Prism module. And as we saw in the previous videos, that means adding a class. I'll call it module. And we want that to implement iModule. Now at the moment I haven't added my references to this project, so let's just add all of those Prism references to this project so we know what iModule is. And we implement that by writing an initialize method, and we will need a constructor that takes the Unity container. Let's call that container. Let's save that off in a reference. Let's say container equals. So we captured that. And then an initialization time. What we want to do, that should be an iUnity container. What we want to do in initialization time is say container dot. Let's register an instance of our email service, and that instance is going to be a new email service. Okay, so we've gone and registered one of those things at initialization time. What we now need to do is go and set about getting our actual application to make sure it's going to load these modules and so on. Okay, so let's go and have a look at that. Let's pop over to our email client up here. Now, what we don't have at the moment is a bootstrapper in here. So let's go and add a new class in here, which I'll call bootstrapper. And this thing is going to derive from Unity bootstrapper, as we saw in the previous videos, just to get everything up and running. And on that, you have to override create shell. I'm not ready to do that just yet, so we'll return null for the minute. But I want to also populate the module catalog. So let's go and find our get module catalog. And we'll just shorten that down because it's off the side of the screen. And let's just fix that namespace. So get module catalog is where we return our modules. What I want to do is load my module catalog from XAML. So I'm going to walk up to the project, add a new item, XML file. I'll call this catalog.xaml. And into there I want to define my module catalog. So I'm going to paste here, so let's just paste a piece of XAML in here. So we're saying here's our module catalog, and our first module is in emailservice.zap, which I think if we have a look at our client web, emailservice.zap is there. That should be fine. The module I'm going to call the email module. That seems reasonable. And the module type is emailservice_module_definitions.module. It lives in the email service assembly. That should be okay. So we've defined ourselves a module catalog. In our bootstrapper, what we then want to do is we... Oh, wait a second. Let's take that module catalog. Let's not get carried away. And let's just define its build property. We want it to be content, and we do not want it compiled in any way. Okay, so we've just set it as content. In our get module catalog, then, on our bootstrapper, what we can do is we can say return module catalog dot create from XAML, and we need a new URI. I think we called it catalog.xaml, and it's a relative URI. And that should be populating our module catalog for us. What we then want to do is let's go back to our startup for the application. And we want to create a bootstrapper. New one of those, and we want to say bootstrapper.run. It would also be nice to create a shell at this point, so let's go back. Well, we've already got our shell actually on the screen, so we could just go and create one of those. It doesn't do anything. But if we go to our bootstrapper and in shell here, create shell, let's say shell equals new shell. Let's say application.current.rootvisual equals the shell, and let's return the shell. Okay, let's build. I'm not expecting anything to come up on the screen, but let's just switch on first chance exceptions so that I can see if there's anything nasty going on. Let's press F5, and let's just make sure that we've got our initial code in a decent place. Okay, so nothing on the screen, but we seem to be looking okay. Okay, so let's start to carve out our shell a little bit from the point of view of the UI. So at the moment what we've got is a user control with a fixed width on it. I don't want that. Let's have this background as azure, just to give it a little bit of color. And I want to mark out that UI we sketched in Paint. So we'll have grid.row definitions, and we'll just have two rows in here. And then we'll have grid.column definitions, and we'll have a column. Let's make width equals star on that one. And let's take another column, let's say width equals 2 star, so twice as big on that one. Okay, so we've got columns and rows in there. I want to use a grid splitter, so in order to use a grid splitter, I need to go out and add a reference to system.windows.controls. And let's go and bring in a namespace for that in XAML. Let's say xmlns controls equals system.windows.controls. And then from that namespace, I want to go and define myself a controls grid splitter. And what I want to do with that, and this is going to go into grid row 0 and column 0, but I want its row span to be 2. I want its horizontal alignment to be to the right of that grid cell. I want its vertical alignment to be stretch. I want its width to be, let's say, 2. And I want its foreground to be black. Let's put another grid splitter in there. Let's just copy this one. And where I want this one to go is I want it to go into grid.column1. I want its vertical alignment to be bottom, horizontal alignment to be stretch. I want its height to be 2. That should be height. And its foreground to be black. So that's probably giving me the sort of thing that I want. So within my, I think I only want one column. Yeah, that's probably right. Let's just give that a quick spin just to make sure we can see those two grid splitters. Okay, so there's one and there's another. I think I set the wrong property for the color, though, in that that looks to be... And we need the background to be black. Okay, so we'll come back to that. So that's fine. And now what I want to do is mark out some regions in my UI. So I'm going to use regions from Prism. So we'll say xmlns, let's bring in a namespace, call it region equals... Let's see if we can find presentation.regions, that's that guy. And I'm going to use that to mark out some regions on this grid. Let's just go and do that. Okay, so let's go ahead and say we'll have a border. We'll say background equals sky blue, something like that. Let's say a corner radius is 2 or 3. Let's say margin equals 5. Let's go and put this so that it fills both rows on the left-hand side of the screen. And then let's go and add into that border a content control. And make sure this thing stretches itself. Let's say horizontal alignment is stretch. Vertical alignment is stretch. I may not need to set these properties. Let's make sure it stretches its content as well. And most importantly, let's specify that this is a region. So let's say region colon region manager region name equals, let's call this folder selection region. Okay, so that's going to be for my folder selection. Okay, so I've got a region. What I now want to do is write a view that lives in that region. So let's go and do that before we add anything else here. So let's control, let's just close those down. Let's go and think about adding a view. Okay, so let's go to our project. Let's add a new project. It'll be a Silverlight application because we're going to use it as a module in a Zap. And we'll call this Mail Selection UI. Let's add that in. We don't need that bit. That's fine. And so into there straight away, let's get rid of the app.xaml and the mainpage.xaml. And let's add a few folders. So let's go and add a new folder. I'll call this one Views. Let's add another folder. We'll call this one View Models. Let's add another folder. We'll call this one Module Definitions. Okay, so I want this thing to be a module, so let's add a module in there straight away. So we'll just add a class, call it Module. It'll look like the last module we wrote. Let's just make sure we get all our references. So let's just browse for all those references for Unity and Prism, and we'll bring in iModule, and we'll implement that, and we'll just write our sort of standard code really here. We'll go ahead and say we want the I don't know if we need a Unity container. Let's ask for a region manager, and we'll just store that. Let's collapse those namespaces. Let's store that at construction time. And in a little while, we'll come back and we'll I don't like any of the casing on this. Just excuse me while I fix the casing on it. That's perhaps better. Okay, so we'll come back and we'll initialize this by registering views when we've got a view to register. So let's go think about that view. What I want for my folder selection is I just want a simple tree view, really. So let's go and make sure we've got the right reference to support that. So let's just add a reference in here to system.windows.controls again. We've got that in there. And let's go to our views here and let's add a new view. So we just take a Silverlight user control and we'll call this one, what do we call the project? Mail selection UI. So let's call this mail selection view. Okay, so we'll just have that. Let's add that. Okay, and we don't want to fix width and height on this. I don't know that we want to prescribe background color on it either, so let's just get rid of that in that XAML for a second. And so we've got our view, and let's go and put a view model behind it as well. So we'll add a class saying mail selection view model dot C sharp. Let's add that in as well. And our mail selection view here is going to depend on our mail selection view model, so we'll just make sure it does that by adding that as a parameter to the construction for dependency injection. We'll call that view model, and then we'll say when this is loaded, we'll add a handler for that, and we'll say this.dataContext equals the view model. So the view is bound to the view model for its data. And then what we would want is we would want the list of folders to be available so that we can data bind that list of folders. And so if we go back to our view model there that we just created, on our view model, what we need is a constructor here. And we're going to need the email service. So let's say we want iEmail service. Now we need a reference to that interfaces project to make that happen. So let's go and add that reference. And whilst we're there, we'll almost certainly want email entities as well. So let's add those two references into the project. And so let's just resolve that now. We'll call that email service. And I'm just going to store that away, our email service, on this view model so that we can get that thing. Okay, so we want a property that the view can bind to. So let's add a public, let's say, IEnumerable of email folder. And we'll just call this folders. And our getter on that will simply say return email service.mail folders. And this list doesn't change, so we don't really need to do too much about that, really. It doesn't change in any way, shape, or form. So we've got that available as something that can be bound to. Let's go to our view over here. So here's the actual view in XAML. And what we want in here is, let's go and bring in the controls namespace. So it's going to be system.windowsControls. And in there, I think we have tree view. And what we can say is that the tree view's item source is bound to folders. So that should be okay. And then we'll just tell the tree view that its item template is just a data template, and that data template can just be a text block. And the text on that can just be bound to name, which is a property on the folder. Okay, fine. So we've made our view, for the minute anyway. Let's go back to our module over here. And what we want to do at the time we initialize is get the region manager and register a view with the region. Now, the region in our shell we called folder selection region. I should probably get that into a constant somewhere. I'll keep it as a string for the minute. So we want to register with that particular, with that particular region. We want to register our type of mail selection view. So we're just saying, find that region and register this view with it. Let's press F5 and see what we broke. Chances are things don't work first time around. Let's just check on all our first chance exceptions. Okay, so I don't think we managed to get that right. Let's see what we did. When I think about it, if we go back to our module catalog up here, let's just go find that. I don't think we have that module in the module catalog, so it's not entirely surprising that it's not loading yet. So let's go and find that, the details of that thing. So it's going to be called mail selection UI.zap. The module we can call mail selection UI, that's fine. The module type, let me just make sure I get this name quite right, is going to be mail selection UI module definitions.module. So let's get that into that file. And it lives in the mail selection UI assembly, and it's also dependent upon the email service, so let's make sure we register that fact as well. Depends upon the email module, so that's that guy up there, depends on that. Let's try F5 again on that, see if we get any more success than we had a second ago. Okay, great. So we've got our tree with our folders up here. So very simple, especially because this list of folders never changes. So that makes it very simple. Now, what I'd like to do is, I guess, a couple of things. I'd like that when I click on one of these and change the selection, I'd like that to fire a command into my code. And in that command, I'd like to know about the email folder that has just been selected. So we looked in our commands video about how we could use a command on a button click. So just to revisit that for 1 second, if I just go back to my view down here, if we find our view, if we imagine that we had a button somewhere here, so let me just throw a button on here. Okay, so if we imagine that we had this button, we said that we could go and bring in the commanding namespace, so let's call this CMD. And let's bring in commands from Prism. Let's just find that. That's probably that guy there. Bringing in the commands namespace. There. And what that gave us was command click, where we could define a command and the parameter to be passed to that command. However, this is only for clicks. and it's not for instance, selection changed on a tree view. So this doesn't really help us because the only command that's defined in Prism is click. So fine for buttons, but not useful for what I want to do here. However, we can go and define our own commands. And so I'm going to bring in a bit of code here that actually does that by adding a new project. So let me just go ahead and do that. I'll snip the video whilst I do that and talk about it when I've done it. Okay, so what I just did was added a new class library project here called Presentation Utility, and I added a few bits of code to it. Essentially what I'm doing in this code is I'm just following the docs for Prism around how to create your own attached commands, if you like. So you create your own attached properties like the click one we saw. What I've done is create that initially here for TreeView Selection. So what we've got on this class here is TreeView Select, and it is registering some new attached properties. So it's saying that it can contribute a new property to an object, and that property is called command. And another property it's got is called command parameter. So what this is going to allow me to do essentially is define a TreeView Select command property in XAML and a command parameter property in XAML. We also go ahead and define this thing called a select command behavior property, but this is an internal mechanism. It's not something that the user of this class will set in XAML. It's our way of actually tying up to the command and the command parameter. Now, let's just have a look at another class here. We have our TreeView selection command behavior. What this does is derive from a class in the Prism framework called command behavior base. That's a generic type, and we specialize it here for TreeView. And all we do is we essentially say that you can construct us with a TreeView, and we will pick its selected item changed event and add this handler here. And whenever the selected item changes on a TreeView, we will execute the command. So this behavior kind of ties up the command that we're going to specify through an attached property with actually the event on the tree view, which is when the selected item changes. The rest of this stuff is essentially just to link up the fact that whenever you change the command property, we're going to run this callback here. And what that callback does is it checks that it's a tree view. It grabs the behavior if it's already there, or creates one if it's not, using this function over here, and makes sure that the value that's been passed to us here is an I command, and we drop it into the command property on the behavior. Similarly here, when you change the command parameter, we use this callback. We make sure you're setting it on a tree view, and if you are, we grab the behavior or create it and change the command parameter's value. And so essentially this stuff here is pretty much boilerplate for any additional attached properties that you're wanting to use as commands. I'm not really drilling into it particularly far, but you'll find that this looks exactly like the implementation of click in the Prism source, and all I've done is sort of done that for tree view selection. Okay, so let's close that down, because I don't really want to dwell too much on that particular implementation over there. What I can now do, though, is reference that project from my mail selection UI, presentation utility. And if we go back to our XAML for our selection view, let's bring that in here. I'll call it command again. So let's just say XMLNS command equals. And that's going to be our presentation utility. That's that guy there. Actually, I don't want presentation utility.converters, though. I want presentation utility.commands, I think. And what that should give me is on the tree view here, I can define command colon treeview select.command, and I can define command colon treeview select.command parameter. Now, the current parameter that I want to pass is going to be the selected item in the tree view. So let's just say equals binding. We'll use a relative source. And that relative source is going to be self, the tree view itself, and the path is going to be selected item. So that's fine. What about the command? Well, I want to bind the command to something on my view model. So let's go back to our view model over here, and let's define a new command on here. So we'll say I command, let's call this selection changed command. Let's define an accessor for it. So we'll say public I command selection changed command. Let's define a getter for that. And we'll just say if selection changed command is null, then make one. Come back to that in a second, and then we'll return it at the end of the function here. So we looked at commands in the previous video and the idea of a delegate command. So we'll say that this is a new delegate command. Now, I actually want the email folder that has been selected. So we'll specify that and we'll say on email folder changed. Not write an inline lambda here, we'll just write a function. So let's write that function. Now it needs to be public. That's something that I'm not overly keen on, but it does need to be public. So we'll say on email folder changed, email folder, new folder. Oops, excuse me, that's not quite right. Let's put a breakpoint just here on this line of code and see if we're getting what we want. Remembering that we need to go back to our XAML and we need to bind this to binding selection changed command. Okay, so let's press F5 and see if that's doing anything for us. I probably got it wrong, but we'll give it a whirl. Let's just ignore our first chance exceptions for the minute. Okay, so when we change the selection here, we're hoping for that breakpoint with the new folder, and the new folder is the inbox and it's got some emails in it, so that's cool. We're getting exactly what we want. Okay, so just revisiting that, what we did was we managed to have an entirely declarative view where we're saying that the select on the tree view is just firing a command with a command parameter, and then we're binding that straight through to our view model via this selection command, selection change command, sorry. And that means that our code behind stays entirely empty other than setting the data context. So it's just kind of nicety that we've got there. So what do we want to do at the point where the email folder is changed? What I think I'm going to do is use event aggregation to push an event through the application so that other views that I don't even know about right now can pick up that event and do something with it. So we're going to bring in the event aggregation service here. So let's do that. Let's say that this class has a dependency on the event aggregation service. That's iEventAggregator from Prism. We'll call that event aggregator. Oops, can't type aggregator. We'll keep one of those around. So let's say iEventAggregator event aggregator. Okay, that's great. We'll just store it off at construction time. This.eventAggregator equals event aggregator. And then what we need is an event to push throughout the application. And if you remember when we looked at the event aggregation service in a previous video, you have to derive your event type from a particular base class, which is called something like composite presentation event or something like that. So where to put that common event type? Well, what I'll do for now is I'll actually add that to my email entities class library up here. Now, it's debatable as to whether I should really do this. Perhaps I should have a separate class library for this. But I don't feel too bad about adding it in here. So we'll add a new event type into that. So let's go and maybe make a folder in there. So add a new folder. And we'll have that as, I'll call it something like view events or composite events. That's perhaps better. Let's do that. Composite events. And in there, let's add a class. So let's go ahead and add a new class. And I'll call this email folder change event, something like that. Email folder change event. Hopefully that's a good name for it. And let's just throw that in there. Okay, so we need to make sure that we can derive this from the right Prism base class. Let's just make sure I've got the right references to Prism in here, which kind of goes back to my choice about whether I should put this class into here, because otherwise this library wouldn't depend on any of this stuff. So maybe I should have had a separate project, but we'll stick with it. Okay, so we'll add those things in there. And I don't necessarily need to add them all, by the way. I'm just adding them all because it's quicker for me to do it that way. We want to derive this from composite presentation event, I think it's called. Let me just make sure that is what it's called. Okay, great. I don't want an integer there. So this is derived from composite presentation event, and my payload for that event is going to be an email folder. Okay, so that's the email folder change event. Great. So if you'd watch the event aggregation video, you'd be familiar with this idea that we just derive from this guy with the payload type as the template parameter, or the generic parameter, sorry. Okay, so let's go back to our view model. When you change your folder in that view, what I want to do is send around an event. So we'll say event aggregator dot, or rather we'll say email folder change event, which is that guy there. Let's call that EVT equals event aggregator dot, and we ask it for that event, so email folder change event. And then we say EVT.publish, and it says, OK, what's the email folder? Well, that's the new folder that we were just passed here. So now what we're doing from that view is when somebody changes the particular item in the tree, we'll get called back here, we get the new folder, and we publish it out to the application so that ideally other views can come along and pick that up. Let's just run this just to see that we've not broken anything, at least at runtime. Of course, what we should be doing at the same time as writing this code is writing a whole bunch of test code that checks to see what we're actually doing. But for point of brevity, I think the video will already be long, so let's just make sure that we're doing that. So at the moment, we should be coming in, and just through a breakpoint, perhaps we can see if we get to the right piece of code. At the very least, we are, as we change that folder, picking up the new folder. It is sent items in this case, and we're publishing that event out to an application which currently isn't listening. Okay, great. Let's just get rid of that and let's close that down. So we really start thinking about another view which will pick up that event and do something with it. Okay, so let's think about another view, and let's go back to our shell for a second. So let's just go over to the shell. It's currently only got this one view in it, which is this guy here. Let's just copy this guy. And we'll put this into grid column 1. And we'll mark out a new area for a view to contribute. And that's going to be where we display the list of emails that are actually in the particular folder that's currently selected. So we'll call this something like folder selection region. Let's call this mail selection region, just to try and keep with the theme, something like that. So this is a new content control that's going to go into that place. Let's save that. And to contribute that view, let's begin a new module. So let's go ahead and add into this thing a new project, Silverlight application. Now we had mail selection UI, let's have mail list UI, something like that. Pop into there. We don't need the test page and stuff. And let's just get rid of the two bits and pieces that Visual Studio throws in for us. So into there, let's add some new folders. Let's call this module definitions. Let's add a new folder. Let's call this one views. Let's add another folder. Let's call this one view models. Okay, and we're going to want a module, so let's go and add a class into that. Let's call that module.c#. And let's just make sure we've got all our references to Prism libraries. Let's define a module here. Let's implement that module. And let's just write a constructor, which will almost certainly want the region manager to register views. Oops, I can't type. And let's just store that off somewhere. Oh, sorry, we've got a semicolon that's broken my IntelliSense. Let's just go and store that off somewhere. Okay, great. So we've got that kind of set up. I suppose we should also go and think about registering this module in our catalog before I forget. So let's go back to the client and set up the catalog so that, similar to this guy, we have a new module. I think we called it Mail List UI. This is going to be Mail List UI, and if I followed my same sort of naming conventions, that should be Mail List UI, and that should be Mail List UI. So hopefully we've got that into our catalog. It also depends on the email module. I think it will anyway. Let's save that and close that. Okay, so the module's there. We need to come back to that when we've got some views to actually register. So let's think about views for this thing. Let's go back to our Mail List UI, and into views, let's add a new view. So that's going to be user control, and this is going to be, let's say, mail list view, something like that. So we'll add that in. Okay, great. And we'll take away the arbitrary width and height. and we'll take away the arbitrary background color. Great. And let's also add a new view, which we'll call mail view. Okay, let's do that, add that. Let's get rid of the arbitrary background color. Let's get rid of the arbitrary width and height. Close that down. And let's add view models behind those two views. So behind that, let's add a new class. So that's going to be mail list view model. And let's add another class, mail view model. Okay, great. And let's wire up our views so they depend on particular view models. Or in fact, let's just deal with this mail list view first. So let's go and deal with that first. So let's just close that down. Okay, so let's go back over here. What we want to do is we want our mail list view to be some kind of list box. Let's say this is a list box. And we want its items source to be data bound. So let's say binding to, this is going to be emails, I guess. Let's have a property called emails. And then what we want to do is on a per item basis, so on the list box item template, what we want to display is ideally a data template containing the view that we just defined for mail. So that's going to be in the local assembly, so I need a namespace for that. Let's say XML and S local equals this guy. And let's go and say that this is going to display a local, what's the thing called, mail view. And we want to say data context in this case is equal to binding. Okay, so this is kind of interesting. I don't know if I just got that right, so let me just make sure I can build that code. Yeah, it looks okay. So we're saying that there's a list box which displays a bunch of emails, and for each email you display the mail view with the data context set to be data bound to whatever is being bound up here as a collection. So that kind of means that this emails collection should not really be a list or an enumeration of emails. It really needs to be an enumeration of mail view model. And so we'll try and make that happen. So let's go to our mail list view model, and let's make sure it's wired up with this mail list view first. So if we just go to the code behind this, a mail list view needs a mail list view model. We'll call that view model. And we'll just say that when this loads, we'll just say this.dataContext equals that view model. Okay, that's great. So we just set that up. That's pretty simple. There'll be no code that needs to go into that view apart from that, hopefully. Let's go to the view model, mail list view model. And let's write a constructor for this. Now, the way I want to pick up the mail to list is via the event that the tree view sent. So I'm going to want the iEvent aggregator service. Let's call that event aggregator. And I'm going to store it away. Let's say this.eventAggregator equals eventAggregator. Okay, and what we also want to do is we want to subscribe to that change notification from the event aggregator. So let me just remind myself what that class was called. Not a good sign if you can't remember the class names. Email folder change event. So we want that email folder change event. And I don't think we have a reference yet in this project to that one. So let's just make sure we add a reference to the right project. We'll probably need the email interfaces and the email entities in here. And I'll bring in, we'll leave the presentation utility for the minute. We might not need that one. So let's go and get that event. We'll say event equals event aggregator dot get me that event, the change event. And then we'll say event dot subscribe. And we need an action to run. So let's say on email folder changed. I don't know if that's going to be a great name for it, but let's write that function. So we'll say public void on email folder changed email folder change event. It should actually give us an email folder. And that's going to be the new folder. Okay, so at the point where this changes, we're going to get notified here, and we'll pick up a new email folder. Okay, so let's keep as a property the current email folder. So we'll select current folder, and we'll just store that. Oh, excuse me. We'll just say current folder equals new folder at that point there. Now what we want to surface is a public collection of, just reminding ourselves, of mail view model. That's what we want to surface. So let's write one of those. Let's say we'll have an observable collection. We'll come back to why that is in a little while. Of mail view model. We'll call that emails, something like that. We want that to be available publicly, so let's have a property. We'll say public observable collection of mail view model emails. We'll have a get on that, and we'll have a set on that. And the get, we will just return our emails. And the set, naturally, we'll say emails equals value. And because I want this to be bound onto my view, I need to implement property change notification for this. So let's just go to our presentation utility down here and implement that very quickly. Let's just add a new folder here. We'll call this property change, something like that. And into that, let's add a quick class. We'll call this property changed implementation. So this guy is just going to iNotify property changed for us, in case we want it more than once. So with public event for property change, we'll have a protected void fire property changed string property, and that will say if property changed is not null, then fire that event with the property. Okay, great. So we've got a base class now that implements that for us. So if we go back over to our references over here, add a reference to that project, then we should be able to go and derive this thing from property changed implementation. Great. So now when this changes, we'll say fire property changed emails. Okay, so that's great. And when the folder changes, of course, the emails are going to change. So what we should do at that point is do something about that. So what we do at the point where we get a new folder here is we'll make a new observable collection of email view model, or mail view model, isn't it? Mail view model. Let's call that new emails. Let's create it. And then we'll say for each email in a current folder, it will now be emails. Let's say new emails.add. We need to add a new mail view model, and we need that to take the email. So let's just go to that mail view model, and let's just find that. Add a constructor to it which takes an email. Store that away for the minute. Great. And so now we can create one of those with that email, add it to our collection. And once we've done all of that, if we set the public property emails equals new emails, then that will fire the change notification and all should be kind of good. Okay, so we've got some way to go yet, but we've got somewhere here. Let's go to this mail view. Let's just save everything here. I'm going to pop over to this mail view and put a little bit of UI on there. So that UI is going to want to be able to data bind to the email. So let's go ahead and add a public property here. Say, we're in the view. That's not right. We want the view model. Let's just grab the view model. Let's go and add a public property, public email get, and we'll just return the email for that. So that's kind of now going to be bindable from the view. So let's go to that view. Here's the XAML for that thing. And at the moment it doesn't have any UI in there. I'm just going to paste a piece of UI in here. Just bear with me a second while I paste that in. Okay, so we've pasted a little piece of UI into that view for a mail. It's a border with a grid. There's a couple of rows and columns in there. And then basically what we have is a button with a plus sign on it. We'll come back to that. A button with the word delete on it. We'll come back to that. a text block which is binding to email.subject, a text block which is binding to email.sent, and another grid which is currently set to be visible and is binding to email.body. So that's gone into our view for a particular email. Let's just save that. Let's close this down and see where we're at the moment, because we haven't run the application for a while. Let's just make sure we can compile it. Mr. Semicolon, I'm somewhere. Let's press F5. Okay, so if we go and make our selection, it's clear at the moment our view isn't registering itself. Let's go and make sure our view registers itself. So let's go to our module for the mail list UI, and let's say region manager dot register view with region. I think it's called mail list region, but we'll go and check that in a second. We'll give it type of mail list UI. Sorry, mail list view. Let me just check that region name with our shell. Again, we should have defined some constants for this. Let's look at the shell where we're trying to inject that region. It's called mail selection region. It's a good job we checked. Let's go back, paste that in there, press F5. So let's see if the view even springs up at this point. Let's just say continue, continue, continue. Okay, so let's select the inbox. Okay. And so we can see, actually, I don't want this horizontal scroll bar, so let me just get rid of that horizontal scroll bar on that list box. Let's just go over to that particular view. So this list box here, I do not want... let's just set that to be disabled. Actually, let's set it to be hidden. That should be okay. And I also just want to change the list box, the item container style, just to check, set that so that things stretch themselves. Let's just say list box item, and let's just make sure that setter, we just set the property which is going to be horizontal content alignment. Let's just set that to be stretch. Okay, let's just see if that looks a bit better. Let's press F5 again. Okay, so we're running that back up. Let's just get through to the actual execution for a second. Okay, so we're not scrolling anymore. So you can see that we've got our inbox. We switched to sent items. Those lists go away. This comes in. We've got two items in there at the moment. We've got our plus button. We've got our delete button. We've got our title at the top. That's a rather funny title, but that's the test title. We've got the date on the right-hand side. It's kind of working the way we were expecting that to work. So we've injected that view, and that's worked reasonably. Okay, great. And what we were doing, of course, is each one of these items is actually a view model with a view hanging off it, rather than just being a raw item. It's a view model. So there's two views in play here. There's the list view, and then there's the mail view, and they each have a view model behind them. Okay, great. Let's just close things down for a second. Now, to simulate email arriving, if you remember, my email service actually has a timer in it. And every so often it creates a new email. And we're not currently synchronizing the event from that service to pick up that new email, and we should be really. So let's go and make that happen. Let's go back to our solution over here. Let's go back to this mail list view. And if we look at our view model for the list, at the point where the email folder changes, we should really be synchronizing the event on that folder that tells us when new mail arrives in that particular folder, or indeed when mail goes away from that folder. So let's look at doing that. What we'll have to say is if current folder is not equal to null, then we will have synced up to an event on that thing. So we'll have to say current folder dot email change minus equals on folder email change, let's write. Oh, that's such a bad name. Let's say on email in folder change, something like that. Otherwise, when we get a new folder, we want to say current folder dot email change plus equals on email in folder changed. I still don't like that name. Should we call it on email on folder contents changed? Let's just grab that. Let's just replace that. let's write that function on folder contents changed. So we'll just write void on folder contents changed. This is a regular event, so you have the sender and you have an event args class, which I think is email chain folder changed event args, call it args. Now that args can tell us, or we'd say if args.change type is, a mail has been added, otherwise it has been deleted. So we get notification from that service this way. But we need to be really careful here. This event is originating off our email service. And I deliberately wrote that email service to not be anything to do with UI. Why should it be anything to do with UI? It's just a service. And it's using a timer, and so I think there's a very strong possibility that that timer is going to fire this particular event when the contents of a folder changes on a thread that's not necessarily the UI thread. So we need, from our view model, to sort this out for our UI. We can't just add into the emails collection because we'll be doing it on the wrong thread and that will upset the UI because the UI is just data bound to that observable collection. So in order to get to the right thread, we need a Silverlight dispatcher object. But how on earth do we get a Silverlight dispatcher object into this particular view model without tying this view model to Silverlight UI? I don't want to just do the equivalent of what we could do is something like application.current.rootvisual. Let's say something like dispatcher. Now that's nice, but if I do that down here, then I'm making this view model dependent upon that without a stated dependency, and it's going to be very difficult to then test this in isolation from all the Silverlight UI bits, which is not what I want to do. So what I need to do is abstract myself away from that a little bit. And so let's do that by defining a new service. So I'll put that into my interfaces project, even though it's not actually to do with email interfaces. Understand that I'm doing that just to cut down the number of projects. I could create another project. But we'll add an interface into this. Let's go ahead and say add a new item. It's kind of a class. We'll call this iDispatcherService. C#. Let's make that an interface. iDispatcherService. And on that, let's just have a void dispatch, and it'll take an action that you want to have dispatch. So that's very easy to mock that particular interface, I mean, it's trivial to mock that particular interface. But for our purposes, it allows us to abstract ourselves from where this dispatcher is coming from. So with that in place, I'll go back to my view model. Let's just grab that guy. I'll say that I'm also dependent upon the iDispatcher service. Let's call that dispatcher service. I'll store that thing, so we'll have an iDispatcher service dispatcher service, something like that. We'll copy it at initialize at construction time, so we'll say this.dispatcher service equals dispatcher service. And then when it comes time to make these changes down here, we can say dispatcherService.dispatch for me, a new action. And that action is just going to say emails.add, in this case, a new mail view model around the new email that has just arrived. And similarly down here, we're going to say dispatcherService.dispatch for me, a new action. And what that's going to do is do emails.remove. Now I actually have to find the right view model. So what we'll say is emails.where. Let's just bring in link. Bear with me while we just bring in system.link. Let's collapse back down into that piece of code. So I just actually need to find the view model in this collection that corresponds to the email that's just come in and we've been told has been deleted. So we just need to say emails.where. Let's say e produces e.email.id, because they have a unique GUID on them, is exactly the same as args.email.id. And that's going to be a single, and we'll get that removed from that collection. Now, what we need to now make sure is that we actually have an implementation of this dispatcher service somewhere. So let's just close these files down again. And for now, what I'll do is I'll go to my actual application project, the email client, and we'll implement one up here. So we just add a class. We'll call this UI dispatcher. This thing is going to be an iDispatcher service. Now, I don't think the email client actually has a reference to that interfaces project, so maybe I should have factored it into two different assemblies, but not to worry, let's just add that in for the purposes of what we're doing here. We'll implement that interface, and we'll implement it here by having a constructor that takes a dispatcher from Silverlight. Let's call that dispatcher. Let's store that, so we'll just go ahead and say copy that across, and then when you ask us to dispatch, we'll just say dispatcher.beginInvoke with the action that you've given us. So all we now need to do is make sure that one of these is registered with Unity by the time it gets asked for. So let's go to our bootstrapper. Now, I think the way you should really do this is by overriding the configure container option. The method. The configure container method. I have a suspicion, though, if I do that, it will be too early in the life cycle of things to actually create one of those UI dispatchers I just made. Because the UI dispatcher is going to need the dispatcher from the root visual, so I'm not sure that's the right place to do it. So for me, what I will do in this particular case is after we've set the root visual, I'll say UI dispatcher equals new one of those with application.current.rootvisual.dispatcher, and then we'll say this.container.register an instance of iDispatch service, and that instance is going to be the dispatcher we just created. So hopefully you kind of followed that through in that we needed this service to abstract ourselves from the details of getting back to the UI thread. We wanted to do that work in our view model down here somewhere. And now we've made that dependent on that service, so it can be easily tested in isolation still. And we're adding emails as they arrive and removing them at the point where somebody tries to remove them. Let's press F5. See if we actually manage to make that work. Let's continue with this. Don't worry about these exceptions. They're just first chance exceptions so far. Let's move to the inbox. Got a couple of mails. So after 30 seconds, what we're hoping for is that a new email will arrive. And whether it's going to or not, I have no idea at this point. Let's see what happens. So we just have to wait a few seconds to see if that happens, as we're now syncing up to that event on the underlying mail folder. So it feels like a long 30 seconds. Well, let's see if there's anything going on here. Okay, so there's our new email arriving. Okay, so that's great. So we've now got that working, and hopefully it's working right from the point of view of threading, and you followed through what we did in terms of abstracting ourselves away from that, so we were still testable on that view model. Okay, great. And there's a couple of other things I want to do here. One is this plus button here. I would like to actually expand and collapse this white area based on whether this was expanded or not. So how would we do that? Well, we can do that through command binding again. So let's go ahead and look at, there's more email arriving. Let's go and look at if we can set up this plus button to do the right thing with respect to collapsing and expanding this area here. So how would we do that? Let's go and close a few things down. Okay, so let's go and revisit that view that we've got of an email, which is this guy over here. And on that particular view, we've got a button with a plus sign on it and another button with delete on it. So let's go and implement commands for those two things. And we know that we've already got the possibility of doing click commands. That's already built into Prism. We don't have to define a custom command for this. So we can bring in the right namespace to make that happen. Let's go and say cmd equals, and we'll bring in, let's just find it, presentation.commands, I think that's right. Let me just check that namespace. Yep, that's right. And so we can say that this button here, excuse me, is going to say command click.command is going to be, let's say, binding to a expand command, something like that. And let's get this button here, and we'll say command click dot command equals binding to a delete command. We're going to have to go and implement these in a second, and that's fine. Excuse me. So let's go and do those things. But we also want to make sure that this grid down here, which is the idea of this, is expanded or collapsed. We don't want it to always be visible. We want that to be bound to, and let's say, is expanded property. Now, I would tend to write that is expanded property as a Boolean property, and then use a converter to convert it to a visibility. So I guess what I'll do is bring in a converter. Now, I've already got, if we go to our solution here, in my presentation utility project, I've already got a Boolean visibility converter class, which goes from visibilities to bools and from, that's a visibility to bool, goes from bool to visibilities and from visibilities to bools. So I've already got this converter, and that means I could go and use that in my XAML up here. Let's go and define one of those things. So just bring in that namespace. Let's say XMLNS converter equals, this is in my presentation utility assembly, converters. So let's bring that in. And then down here on this binding, we can say, we've got to define one first. Let's define one first. Let's say usercontrol.resources and put one of those converters in there. Let's give that a key of my converter, for argument's sake. And let's go and use that down here as a converter on this as expanded property. So we'll say converter equals static. Let's just say static resource my converter. So we've got a converter in place. So we just created ourselves a few more bindings. Is expanded is something we need. A delete command, an expand command. And also, I guess if the thing was already expanded, we wouldn't want this to be a plus. So let's bind that as well. Let's say binding to button text. It's just something we'll have there. So we need a few new properties. Let's go to our view model that lives behind this thing. So let's just go and do that. Let me collapse this guy back down. Here's our view model. So we want a few commands. We wanted an I command for the expand command. We want an I command for the delete command. We wanted a is expanded property. And let's make sure we can return that. We're going to need to do change notification. So let's derive this from property change implementation, did I call it? Let's just make sure we've got that kicking around. Property changed implementation, I called it. Let's do that. Let's derive it from that. And let's add a public property. Bool is expanded. And let's just say we return. The get is just going to return is expanded. And the set, which is probably going to be an internal thing. Let's just make that private set. Say is expanded equals value, and then we'll fire property change is expanded. Let's also write that property for button text. So we'll just, this is a bit of a hack really, but we'll say button text. Let's just do a get on that, and we'll return. If we are expanded, then the text is going to be a minus, otherwise it's going to be a plus. And so whenever this changes, we also need to change button text as well. Okay, let's think about those two commands that we've got to write. So let's say public I command expand command. And we'll just say get on that. And we'll say if expand command is null, then we've got to make it. Otherwise, we can just return it. We'll say expand command is a new delegate command. It doesn't really need a parameter, but we'll just take that anyway. Because that's just the way the delegate command works. And it wants an action to execute. I think for once I will write this one perhaps in line. We'll just say O produces. All we have to say is expanded is equal to not is expanded, I think. And then let's write the delete command. I command, which is going to be the delete command. Let's write a getter for that. and we'll say if delete command is null, and we create a new one of those, delegate command, and we'll say on delete command executed. So we'll actually write a handler for that, and we'll say public void on delete command executed. I think that should be okay. And actually, I'm going to move this from an implicit lambda, because if I remember correctly, this won't come out as public, and I think that causes a problem for delegate command. So we'll say on expand command executed, and we'll write one of those down here. And we'll just say is expanded equals not is expanded. And on the delete command down here, well, we'll come back to that in a second. Let's see if we've got our expanded command working in the first instance. So let's press F5. See if we made things a little better. Let's just ignore our first chance exceptions. So what we should find is that we can expand and collapse, and that's working quite nicely. That's cool. And we should be able to do that there as well. Maybe new email will arrive in a few seconds. And our delete command doesn't actually do anything yet, but we should be able to set a breakpoint for it. Let's just find that and see if we set a breakpoint here and hit delete, then we are actually in the delete command. So that's working fine as well. Okay, great. So we're moving on. Now, in order to do the actual work of the delete command, we need the email service, which this model doesn't currently have. This view model doesn't currently have the email service. So we could take an iEmail service as a parameter at construction time. So we've now taken a dependency on that for this view model, and we store that away just in a member variable. Let's go and make sure we set that member variable at construction time. And then when we get to delete an email, we should be saying email service.delete mail, passing it this email. Oh, actually, sorry, it's this.email. No, it's this.email. There we go. All right, so let's build that. Ah, of course, now when we're constructing this, we need to pass the email service to it. Okay, interesting. So the view model that creates this doesn't yet have a dependency on the email service either. So there's a couple of ways we could do this. We could either add a dependency to the email service here, or we could add a dependency to the email service as we've already done for this, and then use our container to resolve that. I'll add a dependency here. It seems easier to me to go that way. So let's set an email service for the mail list view model. So it now depends on the email service. Let's make sure we store that at construction time again. And then we can use that when we construct the view model for each individual email. So that's going to just need the email service. And when we construct down here, we'll need the email service. Okay, let's build. And let's run that with F5, see where we've got to. Okay, so let's look at the inbox, and let's try and delete a mail. That's gone. Let's delete that mail. That's gone. Let's wait for some new mail to arrive, see if we can delete that when that comes in as well. There's a new mail, we can expand that, we can collapse it, we can delete it. Okay, so that's all working quite nicely. So what I would like to do as a final thing for this view is similar to when you select email folder over here, we broadcast an event out, which this view picked up. When you select an email here, I'd like that to broadcast an event out so we can add another view down here, which is kind of a reading pane. So let's implement that. We need a new event to be broadcast out from this view that we've got at the moment. Okay, so that means that the list view that we have at the moment, i.e. this list that we're displaying of emails, which is just a list box, what we want it to do is when you change the selection in that list box, we want it to go ahead and fire an aggregated event through Prism. And so once again, what I'd like to do is for the selection on this list box, when it changes, I'd like to bind that to a command. And in a similar way that we did this for a tree view, down in my presentation utility project down here, I have additional commands for list boxes. So what we've got here is essentially an attached property, listboxselect.command and listboxselect.command parameter. And we can use those to fire a command when the selection changes on a list box. And just kind of flicking through that very quickly again, we implement one of these behaviors that hooks the selection changed on a list box and executes the command, using the base class that Prism provides, which is command behavior base. So what that ultimately means is I can go back to my view, and if we bring in the right namespace for commands, let's say XML and S command equals, and I'll just look for my presentation utility, but I don't want the converters, I want the commands, then that will allow me on this list box to say command colon select command. So when the selection changes, I want you to fire a selection changed command, which we'll have to write on the view model in a second. And again, when the selection changes, I want you to pass a parameter, and that binding is going to be to the current selected item. So we'll use a relative source again. We'll say relative source of self, and then the path is going to be selected item. I think that should be okay. So we need to now make sure that our view model behind this view has a selection changed command that we can be bound to. So let's go and do that. Let's go and find the view model behind that view. So here's our mail list. There's the view model. And there's quite a bit of stuff already going on in here. Let's go and implement a command. We'll call this selection changed command. Let's make it a public property. So let's say public iCommand selection changed command. Let's do a get on that, and we'll return that selection change command, but if it's not already created, we'll create it. A new, let's just put that onto a new line, a new delegate command. And the type I want passed across to me is the selected item, which is going to be an email view model, or a mail view model, I think we called it. Let's just fix that namespace. And we'll pass that a function, we say, on email selection changed. Let's do that. Okay, so let's write that function. On email selection changed. It's going to take a mail view model. Call that view model, maybe. And let's see if we get that executed. So let's go build. Let's go run. And just ignore the first chance exceptions. Perhaps I tend to like to work with these things switched on because they tend to catch things before I get into trouble. So let's change the selection here. And we can see there is a particular view model with a particular email coming through. Let's press F5. Let's change the selection to this guy. There's our call coming through. So we're fine. We got that in a good place. Now, what we want to do at the point where the email selection changes, I want to fire an event out through the event aggregation service saying, hey, there's a new email that's currently the selected email. I feel that it's not unreasonable to broadcast that out to anyone who might be interested. So that means we need a new event for the event aggregation service. Let's go and define one of those. Now, before I made a decision to put it into my email entities project, really just because that thing is referenced from everywhere. It just made it easy for me. So much like we had this email folder change event, let's define a new class. We'll say email selection changed event, something like that. And that's going to derive, like the previous class did, from composite presentation event, but it's going to carry an email. That's the selected email. And that's it. So we've got that particular event class in place now. Let's close that file down. Let's go back to our view. So if you go back to our view and find the view model for it. So now when this fires, what we want to do is get hold of that event. So we'll say, I've got the wrong piece of text on my clipboard there. We'll say email selection changed event, EBT equals event aggregator, get me that event, email selection changed event. And then we'll say event.publish with the new email. And we can get that from the view model, which is in selection, and pass the email property out. So we're now broadcasting out to the application. There is a new email that's currently selected in the selection view of that list box. And so what I want to do with that, of course, is implement a new view, which would be kind of like a reading view that would just show the body of that particular email. So let's close this down. Let's go back to our solution. Let's add in a new project. I'll choose to put it again into a new module because I think that illustrates better the idea that these things could be being worked on by separate people. They're not necessarily being written by me. So let's go and add a new project in here. We'll call this mail reading UI, something like that. Silverlight application, let's OK that. We don't need these bits. And we don't need the app.xaml and the main page that gets created. So let's get rid of those. Let's just delete those. And then let's go and add our references to various Prism bits in here. And let's make sure we add references. I'm not quite sure what we'll need yet, but we'll probably need email entities at the very least. OK, so let me go and add new folders in here. So we'll add a new folder, module definitions. Let's add another folder. We'll call this views. Let's add another folder. We'll call this view models. Let's add a module to our module definition. So we'll add a new class in here. We'll call it module. And we'll go and implement iModule on it. Oops, excuse me. And we'll do what we've done with all these other modules. We'll just depend upon the iRegion manager. And we'll keep that around just in case we want it, which we will do. And we'll just set that here. So this.regionManager equals regionManager. Great. And we'll come back and register views when we get to this bit here. We'll also remember to put this into our module catalog. So this is called Mail Reading UI. Let's go to find our module catalog. Let's copy this section for the previous module. Let's add a new module. This is called a Mail Reading UI. So let's just say reading. And we've got reading. And if we did everything the same, we'd have reading and we'd have reading. So that should be kind of OK. OK, great. So if I got that right, then we've got it in our module catalog. So we want to add views and view models here. So let's go ahead and add a view. So we'll add a new item. This will be a user control. We'll call this mail reading view. OK, so that's added in there. I don't want it to have a specific width and height. I don't know that I want a particular background color, so let's just save that off. And let's add a view model. So we'll add a class. We'll call this mail reading. So we'll just call that mail reading view model. C sharp. And so let's set up the view. So just pop back over to the view, such that it depends on the mail reading view model. That's not quite right. Mail reading view model. We'll call that view model. And we'll say as this thing loads, we'll just go and set the data context as the view model. Okay, so that's all we need in that view. What we need to do in the view model, of course, is get hold of the currently selected email. And that comes to us via the event aggregation service. So if we go over to that view model, let's just find that code. Put a constructor in here and say that we depend upon the event aggregator. Let's call that event aggregator. And what we need to do is find its event, the one that we created. Let's just go back and find the name of that thing, email selection changed event. So we'll say email selection changed event. Let's call that EVT equals event aggregator.get event email selection changed event. And then we want to say event.subscribe, giving it some action. So we'll say on email, on selected email chain, something like that. Let's write that function. And we're going to get an email. And then perhaps what we can do is just keep that as a member. So we'll just have current email, something like that. And we'll just say this.currentEmail, current email equals selected mail. So that's going to be the current mail. And we need a property that the text on the screen can bind to display the body of the current email. In order to support that, we'll need property change notification. So let's go and derive this from property changed implementation, which we've already got. It looks like we don't have a reference to that here. So let's just go add a quick reference to that project that gives us that implementation. Let's just go derive from that. So now we have property change notification, and we can say public string, let's call this body of email. And we'll just have a get on there, and we'll say, let's return, well, if current email is null, because it could be, then we'll return, I guess, string.empty. Otherwise, we'll return current email.body. Okay? And then when the selected email changes, we need to make sure that we fire a property change notification for body. The body of the email changes at that point. So that looks kind of okay. We've got that stuff. Let's go and have a look at the view, which at the moment has no sort of UI on it whatsoever. So we'll just go to the view, the mail reading view. And on this for the minute, I'll just put a text block. Let's just say text equals binding body. And let's just say font size equals, I don't know, something big. Let's say text wrapping equals wrap. Let's see where we get to with that. Let's press F5 again. Spin up the application. Don't worry about my first chance exceptions. Okay, it looks like we've forgotten to register the view. This is something that I do every time. So let's go back to the module here for this guy. Here's the module. And we want to say region manager dot register view with region. The region, let's just go and check the name on that so that I get it right. Again, we should have constants for these things. The mail selection region. Ah, we haven't actually added a region in here yet for this thing. So let's go and add a region in for this. So we'll add a new border. We'll put this into grid column 1, but also grid row 1. So that'll put it at the bottom of the screen. And we'll change its name to mail reader region. Okay, so not only had we not registered it, we haven't got a region yet to register it with. So there's the region created. Let's go back to the module and register with that region. And it's the type of mail reader view. Mail reading view, is that what it's called? Okay, got it. Okay, so we've registered that. Let's go rebuild. I just checked that I actually populated the catalog for that particular module. Did we do that? Yeah, it looks like we did that. Let's go press F5. Ignoring those exceptions for the moment. Ah, looks like I have a problem with that particular function that we provided. So let's just go and fix that. That is back in our view. We'll just make this method public. I think that's a limit. Well, I kind of view it as a limitation of the way these aggregated events work. So let's go and press F5 on that and continue on. Okay, I still don't look like I have my view down there. Oh yes, I do. It's just got a blue background on it. I wasn't expecting it to have a blue background. So you can see as we select emails up here, even though they've only got GUIDs in them, our text down here at the bottom is now reflecting that in a sort of reading view. You get the idea as to how that's changing as we're selecting these things up here. Obviously, if we move to selected items, aha, we've hit an exception. So we're publishing the email selection change when there is no email selection. So we need to fix that. Let's go fix that. So what we should say is we should publish, if the view model is null, then we'll publish null. Otherwise, we publish the email. Let's press F5. Let's go back and rework that. So something we should catch by testing. Let's just go and get that back. So we go to the inbox, we've got our mails up there, we select them. Let's hope we can go to sent items now. We can, that's great. Select these things, let's delete them. Let's go to that one, let's delete it. Nothing left. Let's wait for an email to come in. Let's see if an email shows up soon. We should be about... There's one. We select that, we get its text back there. We can expand it up here. We can collapse it up there. We could delete it. Okay, so it's all running pretty smoothly. And these three pieces of software were potentially written by different teams who know very little about what the other team is doing other than a couple of shared interfaces and the fact that they're all using Prism and a couple of shared events that move through the application. So I guess the next thing we'd want to do is put a UI onto this for creating a new email and sending it. So let's go and work on that. Let's shut this down and let's close this off for the second. Okay, so let's talk about what I want to do here. And let's just bring up the UI again. So here's the UI, and you can see that kind of going on. And let me just take a quick snippet of that. So let's just grab that thing and take a quick snippet. I'll drop it into Paint. Take a full screen snip. Okay, got it. Let's just go to Paint for a second, and let's paste that into Paint. Okay, so here's my current UI. Let me just see if I can resize that down a little bit. Let's grab that. There he is, as he stands. And what I want to do is I want the ability to create a new email. That's fairly standard. So I want to be able to add a new view. Let me just grab a rectangle here again. Oops, not that. I can't work Paint anymore. Let's just go and grab a rectangle over here. Let's make it green or something. I want to be able to put a create new mail view kind of here, you know, so the point where you're actually creating new mail. But that's kind of a single view that I want to be able to inject. And I want to be able to put it on top of the existing stuff. And I need some kind of button or menu or something to press in order to bring that view up. And then obviously there would be a sort of OK and a cancel button that would be kind of, let's just go and say, grab another shape again. Let's say would be a sort of OK button here and a cancel button there, something like that. Let's grab that one, cancel button there, something like that. And what I want is some UI that allows me to launch this thing. So I want to inject a new view, a new region somewhere. Let's just go and grab a blue or purple or something like that. Make sure we've got a rectangle again. What I want to do, maybe I'd put it at the top or the bottom, or put it at the bottom here for a minute, is have some new view down here that allows me to have a dynamically listed set of commands, such as the new email command. So let me just go and draw that one in orange or something. Let's grab that. This would be sort of like the new email command here. And what that would do, if we can just grab a pen or something for a second, what that would do, let's just grab a black pen. When you click on that new email command, it's going to launch this new email UI, and when you click this cancel or OK button, they're going to put that UI back again. So really what I want is to build a couple more views. I want a view that offers a sort of simple menu, which perhaps I'll just do with buttons rather than actually going and getting a menu control. We'll just have a simple menu that says, hey, one menu option is new email. Obviously in the future we probably add some more, but in the simple case, one menu option is new email. That's going to launch this new email view, which will let you compose an email. You click OK, it's going to dismiss that view and send the email. You click cancel, it's just going to dismiss the view. So we need this general idea of a new piece of UI that can display a bunch of commands. Those commands launch new views on top of the existing view, and then we need the ability to dismiss those views as well. So let's go and set about that. I'm going to add a new service into my project that kind of manages this idea of a bunch of commands that launch a bunch of views. So let's close down Paint and save our rather messy diagram. Let's get rid of this. And let's get rid of that UI and let's go back to where we were. Okay, so I want to add a new service. So let's first off add a new interface project for that. So we'll just go to our solution. We'll add a new class library. And let's call this something like view injection interfaces, something like that. Let's just add that in. And into this, instead of this class that Visual Studio wants us to create, let's just rename that. And we'll call that something like iInject, let's say, single view service, something like that. Probably not the best name, but we'll do it anyway. And let's make that an interface. And what I want to do is have a little list of data types. So let's make a public class here. We'll call it something like command view definition. And what this is going to be is a string which is the name of the command. So in our case, that would be new email, something like that. And then we'd have a command, iCommand, which is the command to execute when somebody wants to do the new email command. So that's pretty simple. Let's go to this interface, and let's give it a public property, which would be iEnumerable of command view definition. That's the type we just created. We'll call that commands, and we'll say you can get that. So what I'm ultimately hoping to do is data bind a piece of UI to that set of commands that we get there on the screen. So that's going to be my set of commands. I also need a way of adding to this command set, and I also probably want to do property change notification on it. So let's go and derive this from iNotify property change. Great. And forget the namespaces. And let's go and add a way of registering a view for a region. So what we'll have is the view name, we'll have the region name, and we'll have the view type, let's say type, view type, something like that. And we'd also want a way of getting rid of it again. Let's say clear view from region, the view name, and perhaps the region name. Okay, so we've got this idea of this iInject single view service. Let's go and see if we can implement that, at least in the first instance. Let's go and add a new service project. So we'll just come along, we'll say add new project, Silverlight application. Now what did we call that thing? We called it Inject Single View Service. So let's call this View Injection Implementation, something like that. It's going to be an application because I'll build it into a module. Let's clear those bits. And let's get rid of the app.xaml and the mainpage.xaml that this adds for us. And we'll do our standard thing of adding a module in here. So let's get rid of this and this. Let's go ahead and stay out for a second. Let's just go and add a new folder in here. Let's call that module definitions.c#. Oh, sorry, that's not right, is it? Let's rename that module definitions. It's a folder. And let's add into that a new class, which we'll call module.c#. We've done this many times now. And let's just go and make sure we add references to the Prism bits for that. So let's add all those in. And let's make sure we add references to that interfaces project we just created. So let's go and add a reference to that project, which was called View Injection Interfaces. So that's in there as well. Let's go to our module. Let's derive it from my module. Come back and implement that in a second. But we'll almost certainly want the Unity container in here. So let's just say this takes iUnity container. Let's just make sure we can get hold of that down here. We'll just have a member variable for it and we'll just store it. We just collapse those namespaces again. Okay, so we'll come back to initialize in a second and actually register something in here. What we want to add is an implementation, so let's just go and add a folder. We'll call this services. And into that services folder, let's add a new class, which we'll call, what did we call that thing? Inject single view service.c#. And this is going to implement iInject single view service. And we also want it to do property change notification. It's a bit unfortunate that I put that property change notification into presentation utility, but I will reference that project just to pick that up. So let's go and add a reference to presentation utility, and let's derive from property changed implementation. Pick up that namespace just so you can see that, and let's get those both onto the screen. Let's implement that interface. And let's tidy up those namespaces a little bit because the Visual Studio thing likes to throw in fully qualified names for things. Okay, great. So we've got that kind of an implementation in here. Okay, so I'm not going to make this thing particularly fancy. Let's just add a private list of command. What did we call those things? Command view definitions. Let's call that commands. And let's just construct that here. Let's just say commands equals new one of those. And when you ask for it here, let's just get this by saying return commands.asReadOnly. Okay, fine. And when you come to register a view for a region, I'm going to need the region manager. So let's go and make sure we've got a dependency on the region manager. So we'll just add iRegionManager. Let's say this.regionManager equals regionManager. And let's just put a member variable in for that. So we'll just have... It's going to be a region manager. Okay, great. So we've got that in place. And then when you want to register a view for region, what we want to do is we want to create a new command view definition. So what we'll do actually is I always want a command name on here, so let's just add that parameter. So we'll have command name, view name, region name, and view type. And what we want to do at that point is create a new command view definition. So let's make one of those. We'll call that definition. Create a new one of those. And what we want is that the command name is going to be the command name that's passed to us here. And then the command is going to be a new delegate command. We've seen this class quite a bit. And we'll just say that what we do there is we need to execute a bit of code, and I actually need to capture some of these parameters with this lambda. Sorry for the semicolon there. So I actually need to capture some of those things. Okay, so ultimately we're going to bind these onto some piece of UI that will fire this command. And what we want to do in that command is create the dynamic view, add it to the region on the screen, and make sure it's kind of active in that region on the screen. So what we'll do is we'll create the view. I'm going to need the Unity container for that, so let's just make sure we get that injected for us as well. We'll call that container, and we'll just go and add that up here. We'll say this.container equals container, so we've got that available to us. We'll create the view. We'll say object view equals container.resolve, and we give it the type, which is the view type. That's created the view for us with dependency injection. And then we want to get hold of the particular region. So let's say iRegion equals, and let's use the region manager, regions called, we've got the region name passed to us, so we can get hold of that. And let's say region.add. We want to add the particular view that we've just created. And we want to say region.activate the view that we've just created. So we have this idea of the view containing, the region, sorry, containing more than one view. And we're going to make sure our view is kind of active at that point. Okay, so I'll leave that as that stands like that for the minute. Let's come back to it later on and we can debug it and see whether it works or not for us. We also want this idea of clearing views from regions down here. So what we'd want to do in that case is we'd want to get, I think, the region again. Let's say region equals region manager, regions of region name. We'd want to say region.remove. So we need to get the view in order to do that. So let's just say object view equals region.getView, passing the view name that we've got. And let's say region.remove. And we want to say which view it is, so that's the view we've just got. And I think what we're going to have to do is reactivate the view that was in that region, or the active view within that region, before we did this work up here and activated a dynamic view in that region. So it's a bit tricky to know which other view was in that region without getting embedded into it. I'm going to make an assumption here that my dynamic addition of views only ever adds one view and only needs to remove that view, leaving a single view in the region. So all I'll do is just say region.activate, and I will just say region.views. And we'll just go ahead and get the first one of those things. If I bring in link, let's just bring in system.link. We can just say region.views.first. So what we're saying here is when somebody does clear region from view, we get that region, we get the view, we remove it, and we activate any other view that's in there, which in my case will kind of do the job. So this is probably seeming a bit abstract at the moment. Hopefully we'll make it a little bit more realistic in a second. We've now got this inject single view service, though, that we can play with. We've not configured it into the application anywhere. Let's make sure we do that. So let's go to our module definitions in the client. So we'll go to our catalog. And let's go and add a new module in here for that service we've just created. So we'll just copy one of these. And this new service is going to be, let's take a look at the naming here, View Injection Implementation. View Injection Implementation. So let's call that View Injection Implementation. Copy that. We'll leave it named like that. Hopefully it's named like that. And let's just find it over here. And it should be named like that. And we don't have a dependence for this at the moment. So we've got that service now available to us. What I want to do then is go and build a view that presents the commands offered by that service into the UI. So let's just go close this down. We'll start a new view. And why wouldn't we go and put that view into this same project over here? So why don't we put it in here? Let's add a new folder. We'll call it views. Let's add a new folder. Call it view models. Okay, and let's go to views. Let's add a new item in there. So that's going to be a user line control, and we'll call that commands view, something like that. And we'll add a new view model, of course. Let's go and do that. We'll call that commands view model. Okay, great. Let's go to that commands view. Let's take away the arbitrary white background. Let's take away the arbitrary width and height. Let's go to the code behind for this, and let's specify that this is dependent upon the commands view model. Just need to fix that casing. We'll call that view model, and let's say when this is loaded, what we want to do is say this.dataContext equals view model. And what we want to do is we want to present in this particular view, if we go back to our XAML up here, what I want to do is present a list, basically, of the commands that are available. So we'll leave the grid as it stands. Let's say we'll have a list box, and we'll say items source equals binding to commands. Okay. And then we'll say list box dot items panel. Let's make that an items panel template. We'll have a stack panel whose orientation is horizontal. So we'll just lay out the list horizontally. And then we'll say listbox.itemTemplate is just going to be a data template. And into there I'll throw a button. And the content of that button will be bound to the command's command name. Okay. And then we want to bind the command of the button. So we need to bring in commanding in a Prism. So let's bring in XML and S command equals go find presentation.commands. That's that guy there, hopefully. Let's just make sure. Commands. Yeah, great. And we'll just say command colon click dot command equals binding. Now, what did we call this back on our class over here, that view definition? Let's just make sure we called it command. So where are the interfaces for that thing? We called it command and command name. Okay, so that's great. Let's call that binding command. So if you see what we're doing, we're essentially saying, hey, we're going to display a list that displays those dynamically registered commands, and on a per command basis we'll have a button that has the command name and fires the command. Okay, so that's kind of how we're doing that. So we need behind this a view model that supports commands in the way that we want. Let's go and do that very, very simply. So let's go to our view model. So what we need here is, we'll make it simple, we'll just say we'll have an IEnumerable of command view definition, I think we call it. We'll call that commands. Let's just see if we can fix some namespaces there to make that okay. And this view model is going to depend, of course, on the I-inject single view service. So let's call that the view service. We'll keep one of those around, so we'll have a member variable I-inject. We'll call that view service. We'll keep a copy of it construction time. And then really what we want to do is just say when you get this, we just want to say get is return viewService.commands. That should be okay as returning that. We also need to know when that list of commands changes. We haven't done this in a very pretty way, so I guess we also need this to implement property change notification, so let's go and make sure that happens. Let's derive that from property changed implementation. So that's fine. But we need to know when our view services commands change. So we'll say this.viewService.propertyChange plus equals. Let's just grab hold of that here. So if property is equal to commands, then we also need to fire a property change for our commands, really, don't we? So we need to do that. So we'd go ahead and say simply passing that on. Okay, so probably not in too bad shape there. Let's just make sure we can still compile our code. We've got a view. We haven't registered that view yet, so we need somewhere to register it. Oh, haven't registered the right, the interface definition I think is wrong. Let's just go and fix that because we added another parameter for the command name. So let's just go and find that definition of that interface. So this should be string command name. Let's make sure we can build. Okay, so we've got this service and we've got a view based on top of it. We need a region in our main application to inject that into. So let's just close things down for a second. And let's go revisit our client and shell up here. So we're going to go back to the shell. Okay, so back in the shell, we have this grid at the moment with a couple of rows in it. For ease, so that I don't have to move things down, I'm just going to add another row at the bottom of this grid. Row definition will say height equals auto. And at the bottom of that row, let's just go right down to the bottom of this grid, we'll add a new region essentially. So I'll just go ahead and say, let's copy that border we've got there. And that's all fine. Grid row is going to be 2, and grid.columnspan is going to be 2, because I think my grid has two columns in it with a grid splitter on it. We'll add a new content control. I'm going to call this commands region. So it's going to be the region that displays that view we just created. So we've got that commands region. Let's go back to the module that has that view in it, which is our guy down here. And let's go to the module definitions. And what we need to do here is we need to register a couple of things. So let's register our service. Let's say container.registerType. We want the one with two parameters. So when you ask for an iInject single view service, we need you to get an inject single view service. But we need to make sure that that is a singleton. So let's say new container controlled lifetime manager, which is basically the way of saying make sure that's a singleton. That function call looks a bit ugly, but essentially what we're saying is when you ask for one of those, you'll get one of these services and make sure it's a singleton. Having registered the service, let's register the view. So we need the region manager. Let's get that injected for us. Let's make sure we keep that in a member variable. And let's go ahead and say region manager dot register view with region. The region we're talking about is this new commands region down here. Let's go and specify that. And the view is the type of the commands view. Okay, let's build. Okay, great. So let's just make sure that we haven't broken anything terribly. Let's just go debug. I'll just make sure my first chance exceptions are switched on. So I find those really useful for debugging stuff. Let's press F5. Just make sure we're not throwing anything that we weren't expecting to be thrown. Okay, so I think my new region is here at the bottom of the screen, but there's no commands in it. I set its size to be auto, so there's no commands in it, which kind of makes sense right now. So what I need to do is add a new view for this new email screen that we're going to do, and that needs to have a command that launches it off. So let's go ahead and create a new project to put that view into. Let's go and do that. Let's close this down. Okay, so let's add yet another module. Lots of modules going on in here. So let's go and add a new project. It's going to be another module. Let's call this new mail UI. Okay, let's add that in there. And we don't need that stuff, and we don't need the pages that get generated for us. Let's just get rid of those. Oh, come back. Let's get rid of that. And let's go and add references to all the Prism bits in the first instance. Let's just go and add that in there. Probably need some more references as we go along. And as we got very used to doing now, for me, let's add this thing called module definitions. Let's add a folder called views. Let's add a new folder called view models. Okay, great. Let's go to module definition. Let's add a class in there. We'll call it module. Let's go and implement iModule on it. And as we've got very used to doing, let's have a constructor on here that takes the region manager at the very least, probably. And let's keep that around. Have a member variable for it. Great, and we'll come back to initialize in a little while. So we've got a new module. I guess we should plug it into our module catalog. It's called New Mail UI. Let's go to the module catalog on the client up here and plug it in before we forget. Let's just go and copy this. So this is going to be New Mail UI. That's going to be New Mail UI is fine. That's going to be New Mail UI, and this is going to be New Mail UI. And it does depend, or it will do anyway. Let's say module info dot depends on this is going to be the view injection implementation. It depends on that module. It's going to use that service. Okay, so let's come back. All right, so for the minute, let's go back to our module over here. Let's just close those down. And let's go over to our views and view models in this particular project. Let's add a new view. We'll add a new view in here. Let's call that new mail view, something like that. Fine. And let's get rid of the arbitrary background color and the fixed width and height for the minute. And let's go to the view models folder and add a new class in there. Let's call this new mail view model. And let's go and make sure that our view depends on the view model. So we'll just say this depends on new mail view model. Call that view model. We'll say this.loaded plus equals this.dataContext equals view model. So we've got kind of got those bits wired up. Okay, so we've got that. Into the view for the minute, just to sort of get this somewhere on the screen. So into the view for the minute, I'm just going to put a big button. So let's just put a button. And we'll just say content equals click me. So we're just going to get something up on the screen so that the bits that we did with all that dynamic view stuff kind of start to make sense. So we've got a new view. And it's just got a button in it for the new email at the moment. We'll obviously make that a better UI as we go along. So what we need to do is I need to register this with my sort of dynamic service that we created. So let's go back to our module over here for the moment. So here's our module. I want to make this depend upon, I perhaps don't need the region manager actually in the end, I need that I, let's just remember what that guy's called, I inject single view service. So I'm going to need a reference across to that interface project. So let's add a reference across to that interface project. And let's go and say we need one of those things. Let's say inject view service, we'll call it something like that. I probably don't need the region manager, so let's get rid of that for the minute. And let's keep the I inject single view service in a member variable. Because what I want to do at initialization time is I want to say inject view service, and I want to go ahead and say I want to register a view for a region. The command is going to be new email. The view is going to be, let's call it new email view. The region is not yet defined. We've not made a region for it, but let's call it main region. We'll come back to that in a second. And the view is going to be type of new mail view. So what I'm saying here is that I want to use my new service to register that this view is sparked off by a command called new email. The resultant view is going to be called the new email view. I want to put it in the main region, and here is the view to create. Okay, so we've done quite a bit there. The problem we've got is that this view main region doesn't actually exist. So let's go back to our shell. Let's close this stuff down for a second. Okay, so back over in our shell, what we have at the moment is this big grid with a bunch of rows in it, and then at the bottom of it we've got the newly created commands region. What I'll do is create a new view from this and add it in effectively at runtime. So let's take this whole grid that we have here, copy it. I'm probably going to have to take some namespaces with it as well. I'm taking it out of the shell, and I'm going to put it into its own view in the email client. So let's add a new folder, call it views, and let's add a user control in here, which we'll call main. I don't know what to call it actually. Let's call it main view. Add that in there. And into that, I'm going to get rid of all this stuff here, and I'm going to add the stuff that we had 1 second ago. So that's that guy. And we've got a whole bunch of XAML namespaces missing, so let's copy those from the shell. It probably doesn't, we might still need them. Let's just copy them and put them into the main view as well. So all I'm saying at the moment is we're now going to move that view into this user control here. And that becomes a view in itself. Let's go back to the shell in that case. And in the shell, let's just have a grid. And in that grid, let's just have a content control. We'll call it main region. And we'll just make sure it stretches itself, because I'm never quite sure whether that will happen otherwise. So now we've got this new region called main region. That's just the top root of our UI, essentially. And then what we want to do with that is we want to make sure that our main view gets registered into that. So all I'll do for the moment is just put that into my bootstrapper just for the minute. So let's just go to the bootstrapper. And after we've created the main visual and so on, we'll just add a little bit of code in here after the shell's created. And we'll just say, let's just get hold of the region manager. Let's just get that from container. We'll just resolve the I region manager. And then we'll just say region manager dot add a register region with view. And we'll say the region is going to be main region. And the view is type of main view. So essentially all we're doing there, if it works out, let's just press F5 on this to make sure we didn't break anything. All we've done is taken what was our whole shell, put it into a view, and then added that at runtime as a new view. And it's just a convenience for me, really, so that I've got a region. And it's still there as it was before. But I can notice that my command region down here hasn't got populated or anything, so we've obviously done something wrong there. Let me just go and do a quick bit of debugging. Let's close a few windows down. Let's see if our code is running to try and inject that thing. So when we come to our new mail UI, it should be going and registering its view for a region using my injection service. Let's go and see if that happens. So let's rerun. And let's just skip past these bits. Okay, so it is happening. Let's step in there. We create a new command view definition with the command name and the command. But then I notice that I'm not actually adding it to my commands list. And nor am I firing a property change notification. So let's stop debugging that. Apologies for that. That's my bug. So let's go ahead and just say commands.add the definition we've just created. And we'll also go ahead and fire that the commands property has changed. Let's see if that helps. Let's press F5. Let's just see if we run that back up. Okay, so you can now see that my new email command is being populated and added into that commands view at the bottom. So we spent quite a lot of time, essentially, building that up to get to the point where we could have that button there. But that button is dynamically contributed at runtime. And if we click on that, we should be creating a new view and injecting it. It doesn't look like that's quite working for me either. So let's go and debug that for 1 second. Let me just go and take a look at my implementation of that. So let's just go and find the service that does that work. Excuse me, the service that does that work. So what we should be doing is actually creating this view here. So let's click that button and see if that's firing for us. Ah, I don't think we've data bound the click properly by the looks of it. So let's just make sure we are doing that. Let's stop debugging for a second. Let's go back to our commands view here. And I notice that we've bound to command and not command, so let's change that to command. And let's go press F5 again. Just little gremlins creeping in. Let's just go and let this continue through. Okay, so hopefully now when we click our new email, there is our dynamically injected view for that with our button. And obviously it doesn't do anything at this point. So just to follow that through with a few breakpoints, because if I've done something that's a bit odd in terms of what you've been seeing there, let's just make sure we get the idea of this. So what happens is we've got this view injection implementation in a module. So if we just go down here, then essentially what we're doing is we'll first off come and register a new service for iInject single view service. So that's the first thing. We're going to register that new service. And then what we do is we register a view that displays all the commands that are available from that service. Initially, that's going to be none. And then at a later point, our module for new mail comes along, and it says, I have a new view. I am dependent on that service, and I register a new view. That new view is called new email. We give it a string name, new email view. We say we want to inject it into the main region, and we give it the mail view that we want to inject. Our code underneath then, I guess if we can run this to that point, let's just go press a 5. So the framework starts to load stuff up. We add our inject single view service into the framework. So that's just there now as a background service. Then our module that does the new mail UI comes along, and it says, oh, I want to dynamically register a view. So let's step into that. It creates a command view definition, which is just a string and a command. The command knows how to dynamically add one of those views into a particular region, which in our case is the main region. And all we do is we add that into something that's data bound onto the commands view, which will ultimately display for us if we just find that commands UI. And we just find that guy. It's ultimately going to display for us a button in a list box for each one of those commands with the command name and the command to be executed bound to that command. So essentially, bound to this delegate here. So when we click that button, we're going to get a breakpoint here. Let's put that breakpoint in there. Let's press F5. And now that button appears on the screen down at the bottom. When we click that button, we get a breakpoint there. We load up the view type, which for us is the new mail view. Create one of those through dependency injection. We find the right region. We add it into that region, and we activate that view. And on we go. And that's how that button ends up on the screen. Naturally, we don't actually want that to be button. We want it to be a create new email UI. So let's go and make that into a create new email UI instead of what it is right now. Okay, so let's go and work on our new email view. And what I want to put into that is probably a Silverlight control. Let's go and take a look at the new email view. So we don't want this button, of course. That's kind of crazy. Let's get rid of that. That was just there as an example. I want to use the data form control from the Silverlight toolkit. So let's just go out and add a reference here. So let's find the Silverlight toolkit with the data form control. Let's bring that in. Let's bring that into a XAML namespace. Let's say xmlnsdf for data form equals system.windowscontrols in the data form toolkit. And into this grid here, what I want to do is add a data form. And I'll say its current item is bound to a property called email, which we'll go and put on the view model in a second. Let's go and have that like that. And I'm going to move this grid. So let's say its horizontal alignment is center. Let's say its vertical alignment is center. So we've got a data form. And let's put a couple of grid rows in here. So we'll have a row. Let's go and have grid.row definitions. Let's have a row. We'll just say height is auto. And we'll just say row, and we'll make that height equals auto as well. And so we've got a data form that's bound, and that's in one row. And then let's also have a stack panel. Let's make its orientation horizontal. Let's make its horizontal alignment to the right. No, right. And let's go ahead. And into that stack panel, let's add a button. And we'll say content equals OK. We'll say, oh, we need the command bits from Prism. So let's go ahead and say xmlns command equals. Let's bring in the commanding bits. Let's just go and have that over there. And we'll say command colon click dot command equals binding. Let's say OK command. Something like that. Let's just wrap a little margin around that button. And let's have another button. Let's put the same margin around it. Content equals cancel. Oops, quotes have gone crazy. Let's say cancel. Let's say command click dot command equals binding cancel command. Okay, so we've got, let's make that okay like that. So we've got a data form to display an email. So we need a view model property for an email, and we need view model properties for OK and cancel commands. And then this thing should lay itself out in the center if we got that right. So let's go to the view model for this. Let's get rid of that. View model. Email view model. Okay, great. And so what we want on here, let's put a constructor on here. Let's add an email. So we need a reference to our emails project. Let's go and add a reference to our email entities so it understands what an email is. And we'll just construct one of these. So we'll just say email equals email.create. If you remember, we've got a dummy method for making that. Then we'll add a property, which is an email, and we'll call that email. And we'll just put a getter on that thing. Let's get rid of that, and let's just say get return email. Okay, great. And then let's add a couple of commands. We'll have an I command, OK command, OK command, I command, cancel command. And let's just say public I command, OK command. We'll lazily instantiate that. So just say, we'll say if command, and we'll make one of those. Let's say delegate. And we'll just have that on OK command, something like that. And let's write that function. Okay, so we've got that in place. And let's do a similar thing for the cancel command. So let's just go copy all of that. And let's just say cancel command. Taking great care not to return the wrong command there. So what we want to do is probably on OK command, we also want to finish up by saying on cancel command. So we just call that after we've OK'd. And on cancel, what we need to do is get rid of the view, which involves using our injecting view service. So let's say we take a dependency on, and let's just go and add the reference for this. Let's add a reference to that project with view injection interfaces. So I think it's called I inject single view service. Aha, great. Let's call that inject. Let's call it view service. Let's add a member for that. So I inject single view service view service. Let's populate that member at construction time up here. So let's just say. Okay, so we've got that populated. And when it comes to dismiss this UI, we can say view service dot clear view from region. The region is called new email view. Sorry, the view is called that. And the region is called main region. Okay, so we'll try and put that in there. We'll come back and do the OK functionality in a minute. Let's see what we've built so far. Let's build. Let's press F5, see what our UI looks like. Press F5. Hopefully it doesn't look too disastrous. So that run through. So we click on the new email button. Well, OK and cancel could be in a better place. It's not doing too badly. This is the dummy stuff that just gets created. Let's go and fix OK and cancel. Let's just pop to those. The stack panel should be in grid row 1. That'll probably fix OK and cancel on there. And let's try that again. Press F5. Bit of a UI error. Let's just let these first chance exceptions go by. New email. OK and cancel are in the right place. Let's hit the... for argument's sake, the cancel button. Boom. Okay, so we've got a problem when we hit our cancel button. Let's just take a look and see if we can fix that quickly. What's going on here? It's when we're clearing the view from the region, and we're trying to remove a particular view. Getting that view has come back as null from the region. The region looks good. So why doesn't it think? Let's check that name. View name is new email view. Let me just check when we originally registered that thing, whether we called it that. Let's check. New email view is good. Let's just go back to that code again. Aha, okay. I think I see that when we added the view to the region, we didn't actually give it the name that was passed to us as a parameter. So let's make sure that that view has a view name as and when we add it. So this was a bug we introduced way back. If we were writing tests around all this stuff, we might have found that bug. So that's one for not testing. Let's go and click on new email again. Let's click OK. That view goes away. New email again. OK, that view goes away. OK, that's working reasonably well. We're not actually sending any emails, but that's a different story. So let's close this down. Close down those windows. Let's revisit the view model with the OK command, which is currently just calling the cancel command, which is getting rid of the view. So what we need to do is here is we actually need to send the email. And that involves using our email service. So let's make sure we have a reference to the right assembly for that. So let's just go ahead and make sure we've got a reference to email interfaces. And I think that service is called iEmailService. So let's get that injected for us. And let's make sure we keep that around in a member variable. Populate it at construction time. Okay, great. So we've got that populated. So what we should then be doing is saying email service dot send email with email. I don't think we've ever tested that method, so really no idea what it might do, but let's press F5 on it and see what happens. What we'd be hoping to happen is it just copies that email into the sent items folder at the point where you send it. So maybe if we focus on the sent items folder, maybe if we click a new email, let's change the subject. This is Mike's subject. The sizing of this form isn't quite perfect. Let's click OK. And there's my email going out into the sent items folder. Let's click a new one. This is my second ever email. This is the body of the email. Clearly we could make this UI better than it is. Let's click OK on that. So there's my second ever email. There's the body of the email. And that's coming from my new email functionality, which we can OK and cancel that way. Okay, so this has been a long screencast. I hope you managed to follow the thing through. Essentially what we've done is, at the end of the day, we've built an application out of a number of different pieces. Some of those pieces are services, some of those pieces are user interface views. Those views have got injected into regions. Some of that was done statically, in the sense that our module came along and registered new views. Some of it was done dynamically, like this new email thing we got here. We use the event aggregation service so that when you click on the inbox, this thing comes through and fires an event into this piece. And when you click on one of these emails, it fires an event into this piece. So we use the event aggregation service for that. And we also use commands extensively, such that when you click on this button here, that's a command that fires in order to expand that. We also use view models, such that each of these things you're looking at here is a separate view model, and each view model handles the individual command that you get at the point where that's done on the screen. So shutting that down, we use quite a few pieces of Prism. We certainly built, possibly these are not necessarily the right set of modules because I was a bit quick about putting them together, but we certainly built a lot of modules, and ultimately our email client comes together out of being a shell with one main view that we'd probably move off into another module, but I did it there for quickness. We used the Bootstrapper to put things together. We used a XAML file for defining what our module catalog was, and it grew over time. And I hope that gives you a flavor as to how we can put something a little bit more real together than what we did in the lead-in videos to this, the other 9 videos that led to this. I'm not claiming that everything I've done here is correct. I'm not claiming that everything I've done here is the right way of doing things. It was really just to try and illustrate something a little bit more meaty than what we had with the other videos. So I hope you found it useful. And maybe what we'll do at some point is expand on some of these in subsequent videos, but I hope this gives you an intro to Prism in Silverlight for Prism version 2 and gets you started into building applications around Prism.